Coming up on Life is a Festival.
The first time Westerners used combos in the 1920s, when people were down in the Amazon, I think they were rubber tapping. But it wasn't studied until the 60s by the same scientist who discovered serotonin. He's a Nobel Prize nominee twice, Vittorio Espermeyer. What he discovered was that combo was a heavy cocktail of what we call bioactive and neuroactive peptides. Peptides are short chain amino acids. They're like a protein, but shorter on a molecular level. When we say bioactive, neuroactive, that means our body can read the peptide contents of combo and it welcomes them in. So it's like combo is putting a code into your body. Whereas if combo were by definition a poison, which by definition it is not because it is bioactive and neuroactive and you can't overdose on it. But if it was a poison, the body would react differently. It wouldn't be able to just recognize what's coming into it. So it's very familiar to the body, even though it is such an extreme and uncomfortable experience.
Hello, my friends and fellow travelers, my festival adventurers, my psychonauts, my people of the vibe. Is that right? You want to be people of the vibe? I think that's kind of nice. It's a little like Lord of the Rings-ish, maybe. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I am your host, as always, Eamon Armstrong. Today is the 150th episode of this show, which has been running for nearly 5 years and has brought me so many exciting connections with different people and great conversations. And I'm so grateful. Grateful to you, dear listener, for being along the journey. Today, we're going to talk about combo. I've been wanting to do an episode on combo for a long time. It's been a really important part of my mental health management over the past 6 years. Combo is an Amazonian medicine, which is derived from the secretions of the Phyllomedusa bicolor, also known as the giant monkey tree frog. Today's guest is a combo facilitator who I have sat with a few times. Her name is Jetta Blaine, and she's going to help us understand combo, specifically what is going on scientifically. And it really comes down to a bunch of groovy peptides, and we get super nerdy on peptides. So if you're in the mood for some nerdy peptide chat, this is your podcast. The show begins with some essential considerations about doing combo, including contraindications and vetting practitioners. And I felt like leading with this before we even get too much into the medicine, because these are the most important considerations. Following that, we discuss the origin of combo as an indigenous practice, what combo is, what it does, what it's like. And then Jetta actually administers some combo to me live, and we do dry combo. So if you're familiar with combo, you know, it can be quite an intense purgative experience, not really a great one to do while interviewing someone. But dry combo is much less invasive, and we just do 2 points. So you'll still get an experience of me experiencing combo and telling you about it. So that's exciting. After that, we get really into the idea of the peptides, these short chain amino acids that are so impactful to the brain. And combo is bioavailable and neuroavailable. It affects your brain in really interesting ways and ways that I didn't know. There's a lot I didn't know about combo that I learned about from Jetta. Finally, we end our program with ethical considerations, ranging from concerns about animal cruelty to sustainability practices. So a comprehensive combo chat. So Jetta really embodies the wounded healer archetype. She's personally battled depression, PTSD, disordered eating. And before discovering combo, she lived in ashrams, studied yoga, meditation, body work. She is twice certified with Combo International, which is a governing body for Western combo practitioners, and has been serving the medicine for the past 2 years. She sources her medicine ethically through Combo International. She'll discuss that on the show as well. And she's a font of knowledge and a wonderful person to talk to and a really beautiful practitioner of this medicine. So without further ado, here is Jetta Blaine.
A
my eating disorders were all over the place. So I had anorexia, I had orthorexia, I had binge eating disorder. They would all come in their seasons and then go. So my weight was super up and down all the time for a couple of years. And that's all I thought about so much was how I looked, what my body was doing, if I was eating too much, too little, how to balance it out, taking away my stress by doing, you know, binge eating or by not eating at all, just really controlling my appetite in weird ways. And it literally permeated every area of my life. It was a really miserable time.
You know, this is an interesting place to start this conversation. So perhaps with some edits, if you're comfortable with including it, it's actually an interesting on-ramp to what we're talking about. Because many of us enter into healing journeys for different reasons, with different preoccupations. Mm-hmm. A big part of mine is sexual and my relationship to sexuality and also depression and mental health stuff. But I hear you on the fixation and there's something wrong. I need to be released from it in some way. And combo, like ayahuasca, is purgative. And there's an idea of releasing and letting go. But paradoxically, I wonder if it's contraindicated for someone who is suffering from bulimia. Mm-hmm. But imagine that a purgative medicine might be not appropriate. Do you have a perspective on that?
I do. So it can be. It's a case-by-case thing. A big thing is if somebody has really serious bulimia and if they're purging a lot, because then there's a risk of an esophageal tear or something of that sort. But that's in extreme cases. I think every practitioner handles it a bit differently. But if I am met with somebody who has an eating disorder of some sort, or if they're suffering specifically from bulimia, I just have a conversation with them to kind of gauge, like, what's their relationship to it? Where are they in their healing journey? And then use my discretion and also theirs if this would be a healthy method for them. And there's also dry combo too, right? So that's when combo is applied without any water drank. It's less medicine meaning Amazonian medicine, right? And so the goal of that isn't to vomit or to purge like that. So they can still get the benefits of the combo without it perhaps being something that's triggering or that might add insult to whatever they're going through already.
It's interesting. We gain more awareness as we relate to these medicines. And I'm sure as a practitioner, your awareness has sort of amplified, likely much more than mine. But we don't know what we don't know. And something was drawn to my attention around ayahuasca, the issue around the purgative quality, certainly, but also, you know, we do a specific diet before ayahuasca. And that can be triggering for people who have restrictive or disordered eating. Mm-hmm. Combo doesn't have a diet prior. Clean eating is desired. And I suppose you'd have a harder ride if you ate a big plate of pork belly the night before.
Yes.
But you don't. It's not the same thing with combo. There's not like a cleanse or a...
No, combo is the cleanse. And I typically advise my clients to eat cleaner in the days previously. So less processed foods, basically. It's important to keep salt in the diet if they're going to be having wet combo or what we'd call a normal ceremony here up in North America and the way that it's practiced a lot around the world outside of the Amazon. And that's just because of risk of hyponatremia with water intake. But ultimately, it's just eating food that's going to be fresher, that's going to be lighter on the body. It can be dangerous sometimes to do a cleanse before a combo too, because combo already is so deeply purgative and there's so much going on within the body. We don't want to alter it too much prior to going into combo, because some people ask me if they should do like a juice cleanse right before or something of that sort, but it's not recommended.
I haven't yet welcomed you onto the show. Forgive me. I have one more question, because we've had this on-ramp about contraindications, and perhaps even before we get into the wonderful world of combo that has benefited me so much and you as well, what are the contraindications? What should we be aware of if someone is listening to this and they're like, okay, I want to do combo. Let's do the contraindications right away, and then we'll jump into the journey of the podcast.
Yeah, so there are a few contraindications. One is esophageal tear. Another one is Addison's disease. Another one is if you are on medication for low blood pressure. High blood pressure is okay, but medication specifically for low blood pressure, so not the condition, but the pharmaceutical for it, is contraindicated. Another one is if you have a serious issue with your heart, if you have like a pacemaker, if you have a stent, if you are unable to do cardiovascular activity, that's a big contraindication too. And there are some that are like kind of contraindications that kind of depend on the person, how serious things are, like if they have an esophageal varices or something of that sort.
And when people say that there can be combo fatalities, what they're referring to are unexperienced practitioners who are having clients drink too much water.
Is that's typically the case?
That's typically the case. So it's people that read online, just drink as much water as you can, and then they have somebody drink a gallon of water and they go hyponatremic. And the thing with hyponatremia is once hyponatremia starts to take effect, which basically you drink too much water, your salts in your body get depleted and your brain swells, you're more thirsty. Oddly enough, so you just continue to drink water, and then you basically drown yourself from the inside out. So that's the biggest issue. Other issues arise when it comes to contraindications that people don't experience so much who live in the Amazon, just because our lives are different in other parts of the world. So there are some issues too with that, just practitioners being unaware of things that aren't, you know, normal to the medicine itself.
Jetta, I appreciate that we're starting this conversation in a sophisticated, dare I say, nerdy manner,
Yes. Because
that's the conversation I want to have with you today.
I think
when we are talking about these topics in the world of wellness writ large, that it can get a little woolly, a little touchy-feely, and today we're going to talk about science, and you're going to tell us all about this Phyllomedusa bicolor,
Phyllomedusa.
Giant monkey tree frog. So... Mm-hmm. With that interesting preamble, Jetta, welcome to Life is a Festival. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking so forward to this and I'm so excited.
I'm really happy you're here. So I first sat with Combo in 2017. I've probably done it about, you know, a dozen, maybe 20 times since then. I have found it for me to be really the most powerful thing to clear out an oncoming depression. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's like a gut dysbiosis and it helps with that. I don't know if it's the peptides. I'm not sure why. I had a big depression recently. It was impenetrable even from the combo. But often if a depression is starting to settle in, that kind of brain fog, hyperfixation, that sort of thing, the experience of combo will often clear it out. And so I've been doing it for a couple of years. Depression is different for different people. If you're listening to this show, this may not be something that works for you. It has been helpful for me. Also, I'm not a scientist. We're not scientists. We're not doctors. We're not your doctor.
Yeah, I also do want to also state that when I call it medicine, it's talking about it as an Amazonian medicine. So it's obviously not the same as some kind of pharmaceutical that you'll get from your doctor. So the terminology is going to be a bit different because I tend to call it medicine. In my mind, it is medicine, but it's not a medicine that fits into the Western medicine paradigm at the same time because it is something that's foreign. So just to be clear on that, which is pretty common in the plant medicine world, people talk about plant medicine or ayahuasca, they refer to as the medicine. Psilocybin, people can refer to as the medicine, but it is different. So just to clarify that.
Yeah, we'll be doing a lot of clarifications on the show today.
Yeah.
So I've been sitting with this medicine for the past 6 years. I found it very helpful. Mm-hmm. I've sat with different people. I have sat with indigenous practitioners around the world. I have sat with you twice, and you came highly recommended from someone that I trust. Mm-hmm. And I sat in a group session with you. And then I sat in a one-on-one. So I have a high level of trust. Our audience does not necessarily have a high level of trust. Our audience does not yet know you. Mm-hmm. So as a way of starting this conversation, when we're talking about these medicines that can be very powerful and the experience of it can actually be quite an ordeal, trust is extremely important. So I'd like to start with a little bit about you and why someone should trust you with this medicine as a way of understanding how they could vet other people who might be serving medicines like this?
This is such a good question because it is important to ensure that you go to a responsible practitioner for combo or for any kind of alternative medicine modality. There are issues that exist within the medicine world, obviously. And for me, when it comes to combo, I am certified through Combo International. It is a combo certification program and organization. And there are a couple of them that exist. Another one is the IAKP or the International Association of Combo Practitioners. These two are kind of like the big ones. Tribal Detox is another one that I know of as well. And I've gone through two certification courses with Combo International that were both very in-depth, about a week long each, but a week long of intensive. So all day you're learning about combo, you're receiving combo multiple times, serving people multiple times. And I believe that people who are seeking out combo, it's best to find somebody who is certified through an organization. And that's because a lot of the issues that we have that exist with the improper serving of combo, basically, it comes from people who have learned how to do it in the Amazon and then they come and transfer it up here in the United States or somewhere else in the world. That is not to say that people who have learned in the Amazon under maestros there don't know how to serve combo. They do, but we just have different lives up here. We have different traumas up here. We have different environmental factors up here that can definitely alter how you experience the medicine itself and also what it's doing in your body too. So to ensure that somebody is going to have a safe experience, it's best to go through somebody who has been through a full-on certification program. And you can find that on the IAKP's website or on Combo International's website too. There's a directory of people who are trained, who know what we're dealing with when it comes to pharmaceuticals that we might be on, different autoimmune issues that we might have, that are more prepared for it than people who learned in a place where those aren't really a thing.
Makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Also, we are doing this in my home in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Combo is not illegal, which is wonderful. It is not illegal. It is also not regulated in any way. So vetting appropriately is really important.
Yeah, it's important to ask your practitioner where they receive their combo from as well. And then just any other questions that you feel are important for your safety. It's also important to communicate what's going on in your life too. A responsible practitioner should have you fill out some kind of medical disclosure or waiver, so they have some kind of idea of your medical history to prepare for how ceremony might go for you, or to know if combo is going to be the medicine for you or not as well.
So you mentioned sourcing. That's something that we'll get to towards the end of the podcast. The issue around sourcing, conservation, the ethics of using this medicine is something that we will be discussing today and we'll be doing towards the end of the podcast. So for the listener who may already have concerns around the ethics of this medicine, or, you know, specific issues around animal cruelty or conservation, we definitely will be covering that today. And obviously, since Jetta is a practitioner and I am someone who receives combo, we both feel ethically aligned, but we'll get into that topic at the end. I just want to make sure that as we proceed, that there's an awareness that that will be discussed. Mm-hmm. So you have gone through a credential program twice. You have been serving combo for how long?
About 2.5 years, but I went fully into combo. I've served just over 300 people combo at this point. I used to serve really large groups of about 15 people about once a month. And then I also have a private practice too, just working with people one-on-one or small private groups too. As of now, I'm hosting my community events about once every 6 weeks, and those circles are public. They're more affordable too. They're all about bringing together people to experience combo and have healing basically at a larger scale, which is when I first met you. I'm going to do those about every 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. And I appreciate that you have a community offering, because, mm-hmm. you know, serving medicine, you know, any psychedelic work and space holding is very time consuming and can get very expensive. And we really want to make sure that if these medicines are properly transformative, that they are properly accessible. So mm-hmm. it's very important to me that there are community offerings in psychedelic and ancestral / Amazonian medicines. So kudos. Appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
So you've done this work for 2.5 years with combo, but I understand you have been on a long journey in terms of your own personal work, and you've actually held space in different contexts prior to this. So you actually are mm-hmm. coming in with a background in holding space for people in altered states. Can you tell us just a bit about that?
Yeah. So first off, I've lived in a few ashrams across India and in Australia, and it's not as much as holding space there, but it's about attuning to your own inner self and doing your own purging and your own cleansing through meditation and through a yoga practice. And that just cultivates greater awareness within yourself and then also with other people who come into ashram who are new, who are going through that experience too. So it is holding space in a way, but it's also not holding space in a way. But I feel like it's important because it really prepared me to be able to experience altered states of consciousness through plant medicines or through combo on its own first, just through, you know, internal awareness. I've also done Vipassana as well.
Vipassana, and I understand you also have worked as a guardian in ayahuasca ceremonies as well.
I have, yeah. So that was more recent. I started doing that about 2 years ago and did it pretty regularly for a while. So when we say guardian work, it's holding space for others. I wasn't the ayahuascaro. I wasn't pouring ayahuasca for people, but I would help do the support work, some energy clearing, stuff like that. I also used to do other work with plant medicines, facilitating different circles.
So you got some experience mm-hmm. and you also have a very comforting and supportive vibe, and we are not going to be doing a full ceremony today, but mm-hmm. the one-on-one work that I did with you was very profound and I found mm-hmm. it to be quite therapeutic. we are going to do some combo today. And we discussed doing combo on the podcast as a way of offering access to listeners. Now, if you're familiar with combo and you're like, whoa, Eamon, don't do that. That's a horrible idea. I think a full combo ceremony, yes. You don't want to hear me puking and wishing it were over.
Maybe it's quite they do.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's a... Maybe there's a bit of a current of sadism in my audience. Who knows? But combo can be a very intense ordeal experience when you do a full ceremony. And combo is not hallucinogenic. It is not a psychedelic. It can be very intense. And I've always found that afterwards, it gives me a great deal of clarity. We're not going to be doing a full combo ceremony today. We're going to be doing something called dry combo. So tell us a bit about dry combo, which we are going to experience today.
Yeah. So dry combo, basically, it's almost like a combo microdose, so to speak, but you just receive less points of combo. Basically, when combo is applied, it's applied with points. So I'm forming points with the combo and then applying it to gates, which basically are areas in the body that we've burnt off the first layer of the skin to expose the lymph, because combo travels around the lymph. So when we're receiving dry combo, it's less points, so we open fewer gates. There's also no water involved before you experience the combo itself. So when we do wet combo, we open more gates. People typically chug about 1.5 to 2 liters of water. In some cases, they chug a fermented cassava mixture that's mostly in the Amazon, but there are some practitioners that serve it that way up in North America as well, and it's a bit of a different experience. But you apply more combo with that, typically between 4 and 7 points for your first time, and it can go up exponentially from there. There are people in the Amazon that do 200 points of combo. So I've never done that much. I don't know anybody up here who's done that much, but since combo is bioactive, bioavailable, basically you can't overdose on it. You also hit, you know, your 10, your extreme. Combo doesn't bring you to an 11 or a 12. It kind of keeps you at, you know, whatever its ceiling is. And if you receive more medicine on top of that, it's not going to alter things too much. It just does what it does. But dry combo, less points, usually between 1 and 2 gates, sometimes 3.
How many are we going to do today?
Let's open 2 gates and just put on 1 point, and then we can see if you want another one.
Okay. So, So Jed and I decided that it would be valuable to you, dear listener, that we do this. And we're going to be doing dry combo without a traditional ceremonial container. So before we step into doing that, let's talk just a little bit about the ceremonial container.
Yeah.
And the way in which we honor this frog and the wisdom keepers who have been holding this medicine for centuries.
Yeah. So first of all, I want to say in my practice, typically I do serve combo ceremonially. I believe that a big thing that we're missing out on in North America and in the Western world is sacred ceremony around our lives. And I think that combo can be more powerful when we do have it ceremonially, when we are grounded down in our intention. We are giving thanks to combo and to the people who have carried it for thousands of years, to the Amazon rainforest itself. It just creates a more holistic and well-rounded experience that I feel goes deeper for the person. We're obviously not doing that today for sake of time and other reasons. We're just wanting to have you see what it's like for somebody to experience a little bit of combo and see what's going on in their body at the same time. In the Amazon, combo isn't considered a shamanic medicine. When I say shamanic, I mean traveling between realms. That's the best word that we have for it currently, even though that word is pretty...
Well, it's misappropriated because shamanism specifically refers to a Siberian lineage.
Yes.
So we might say curanderas or ayahuasqueros as versus shamans. I often just say facilitator, but people say shaman, and you know, I mean, it's kind of the parlance.
Yeah. And oftentimes up here, people view combo as like a shamanic medicine, but it's not considered one down there. In the Amazon, they primarily use it for physical reasons. So if somebody is getting sick, or if they're suffering from what's called penema, which penema means like low vibes. So that could be depression, lethargy, things like that. Anxiety is another example of it. They receive combo if they are, like I said, getting sick. Also, it is considered like a warrior's medicine. So they take it before they go hunting because it increases strength, vitality, mental clarity, stuff like that. So up here, we use it a bit differently. We often use it to purge trauma out of the body, also to fight autoimmune diseases, all kinds of things. But it is used differently down there, and it's not always used in a ceremonial container.
Can you tell us the indigenous mythology of Kambo. Now, I understand that, you know, this is a heterogeneous group of tribes in the Amazon, so there are different mythologies. But there's one that seems to be the most common way that the origins of Kambo are described in from an indigenous perspective. Can you share that with us?
I can, yeah. So just like Eamon said, there are many tribes that have that have practiced Kambo for thousands of years, and there are many different stories of how humans came to Kambo. So the most notable story of how humans came to Kambo says that thousands of years ago, a tribe became very sick, and that the pajé, or the curandero at the time, whose name was Kambo, was unable to cure them. He gave them everything he had. The tribe was still sick. So legend has it, he drank Abuelita ayahuasca. Ayahuasca took him out into the rainforest, introduced him to Phylomedusa B. color, the giant green monkey tree frog, showed him how to extract the secretion, and then how to apply it. Then legend has it, he took the medicine back to the tribe and cured them all through this method. And it's been used by several tribes since. And so, as I mentioned previously, it is mostly a physical medicine for the tribes. Nowadays, as medicine has gotten bigger around the world, you oftentimes see Kambo used prior to ayahuasca ceremonies. In my experience, is it does enhance an ayahuasca ceremony. People are less likely to be really physically sick during the ayahuasca ceremony. It also makes it more easy for them to be able to surrender their consciousness and journey. But that's not historically how Kambo is used. Now, too, people want to do things in a short period of time. So it's kind of like, oh, I want the whole buffet of all the medicines that the different tribes have to offer and all the wisdom that they have in a short period of time. So we tend to combine things more, but that's not traditionally how Kambo is received.
And I understand that there's a kind of inoculation where Kambo is offered three times within a moon cycle, within a month. Is that a traditional indigenous offering, or where does that come from, that this three times in a month?
Yeah, that's not a traditional indigenous offering. That's something that has happened as Kambo has spread throughout the world. I don't know exactly where it came from. It's three times within a moon cycle, a 28-day window. In my practice, in the way that I serve it, I do believe that inoculations can be really helpful for people. You know, living in the developed world, we have so many environmental toxins that we come into contact with on a regular basis. We also live in a society that thrives off of our trauma and off of our dishealth. And so Kambo in a short period of time in an intensive, like an inoculation, so three times in either 3 days or spread out over 4 weeks, can be really helpful for going into a deeper and deeper layer of the physical body when it comes to the purge, which we'll talk about in a little bit. What is actually happening in the body when somebody receives Kambo, what actually is the purge. But then also on a more emotional level too, getting stuck trauma, memories, things like that up and out of the body too. Since Kambo is so deeply purging, if it's like the first cleanse that we've done or the first deep cleanse that we've done, it can kind of stir things up from within the body. Viruses, things like that are dormant in the organs. And then also, like I said earlier, trauma too. And so it can be really helpful to continue that cleanse, to add more Kambo in a short period of time so that we're not just floating up in this liminal space where we have more toxins that are kind of floating around closer to the surface, or when dealing with, you know, ridding ourselves of a big trauma or going into the next layer of our lives.
This kind of stirring up you're talking about, is this the Herxheimer effect?
It is the Herxheimer effect, yes. So the Herxheimer effect is like a detox symptom. So if anybody's done a dietary detox, they might know that like on day two, usually you feel like utter garbage. And that's the body ridding itself of things that have been dormant or really deep in the body that get brought up to the surface that then the body has to go and clear. And so we do see it with Kambo sometimes. Usually it's less likely with Kambo than a dietary detox because Kambo is so purging. However, it can still happen. I see it a lot with people who have traveled the world a lot. So they've come into contact with a lot of different bacteria, viruses, stuff like that. I also see it with a lot of people that have autoimmune issues too.
So before we do this dry Kambo experience, how do you typically honor the frog, the tribes? How do you, obviously we're not creating a ceremonial container at the moment, but I think it is important to connect with the lineage of this medicine. How do you do that in terms of what you offer, and how shall we do that? How shall we do this today since we're not doing a traditional ceremonial container?
Yeah, we can still do a short meditation to give thanks first off. I think that's really important. I do also get my combo from the Matzahs tribe, and I get it via my certifying body, which is Combo International. So it is received ethically. It is received from people who know how to harvest the medicine from the frog, who know how to not overmilk the frog too, so that it still has its protective barrier against the world, which is what the combo itself is too. So it's really important. I always get my medicine through Combo International. I trust them. I know that the Matzahs tribe too is getting a good amount of the money that I pay for it too, so that it's a more whole circle thing that we're dealing with. We receive the benefits of the combo. They also receive an income as well. In ceremony that I host, I tell people everything they want to know about combo. I also volunteer information too when getting started with working with somebody for the first time about why this stuff is important. And then we go into meditation. We give thanks to the tribe itself. We give thanks to the medicine, to the spirit of the medicine, and to the Amazon too, and just kind of align with that energy. And I find that that makes for a better experience and is really important. Also on my website, I have a lot of information too about combo, the different tribes that have served it, where the frog is native to, which is specifically the upper Amazon.
One of the reasons why I wanted to interview you is because you are very dialed in terms of your understanding of the whole picture here with combo.
Yeah.
And once we do this dry combo here, we're going to get super nerdy on the science, because I think a lot of people who, even people who've experienced combo, are not necessarily aware of the different peptides that are active. And there are things that I am not yet aware of that I'm excited to nerd out on today. But first, let us center ourselves and we'll have a little meditation. You, dear listener, will hear a jump on the track, but we are going to take a moment to center ourselves, and then we're going to do a little combo. Okay, so the first thing that we're doing here is that Jetta is lighting a little incense that she's going to use to burn the top layer of skin on my right arm.
I typically do left. In the Amazon, they do left because it's closer to the heart, so it's a quicker onset.
Let's do left. Yeah. Now, I'm not expecting to purge, but I do have a little green bucket here just in case.
So I'm going to open two gates for Eamon today, and we're just going to apply one point at first, but perhaps if we both feel called, we'll apply the second one as well. Usually, combo is applied for about 20 minutes as well, so we may or may not have it on 20 minutes. We might have it on 15. We might have it on a little bit longer, too. We'll see how it goes. It's a bit different per person, but usually 20 minutes is like the golden number.
All right.
Deep breath in. Exhale.
You know, it's a relatively painless, you know, it's more the fear of pain, I think, that when you're like, because you're just, it's a little burn. It's like very superficial. But of course, the actual experience of combo for me personally, when it's a larger dose, is much worse than the burn on the skin, or more challenging rather.
Yeah, it's funny because for some people, the most challenging aspect is drinking all the water. For some people, it's getting the burn. I think it's whatever, you know, we project the experience onto, or whatever it is that we know, oh, wow, we're going into the experience. So for some people, when they receive the burn, it's, oh, wow, I'm actually doing combo. Now it sets in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you made a comment that you're going to put one point on, and then we are going to kind of feel into whether there's a desire to put on more. Something that's always been curious to me about combo is how one decides how much medicine needs to go on. Sometimes when you do combo, the medicine is reapplied. Sometimes water is sprayed on the combo to kind of activate it more. How do you make a decision about how much combo, whether you want to reapply it? What is that skill set? Is it more an art? Is it more a science? How do you know?
It's a cross between an art and a science. So part of it is somebody's constitution to decide how many points they're going to receive. Usually somebody's first time, between 3 and 5 points is enough. It is something that we tend to be sensitive to up here compared to in the Amazon, because it's not something that we've had since we were children. You know, it's very different. We have a different relationship with discomfort as well up here. But it is also an art, because also somebody's emotional sensitivity, their level of how much of an empath they may be, can also experience how much medicine to give them. So that's regardless of what their constitution may be too. I find it to be almost like a spiritual process when deciding how much medicine to give somebody. Through meditation, usually my client and I arrive at the same number of gates. that they need to receive. Usually I'll end up opening an extra one just in case. And if I apply another point, that's because they might have a difficult time purging and they might just kind of be stuck where they're feeling really nauseous, where the purge is almost there, but not quite. Usually because we fight it on a very subconscious level. Again, we have a different relationship with discomfort up here than they have in the Amazon. We tend to fight it a bit more. At the same time, usually practitioners will spray the points during ceremony to keep them active, because if they dry, then the medicine's not active anymore. If it's too early, then you also might stuck being nauseous a bit longer than you were if you were to actually ride it out fully with the medicine too. Some practitioners decide to flip points to keep it more fresh. I don't flip points typically. I find it's not very necessary. I have a few times, but usually just wetting it for me is enough.
Cool. Well, let's do it. I find myself feeling less apprehensive because you've given me the impression that this will not be the kind of ride that happens typically. I typically do not do podcasts under any kind of altered state of consciousness. Now, of course, this is not a psychedelic kind of altered state, but it feels apropos for our audience to experience my experience. And so here we go.
Why don't you go ahead and align with your intention, whatever that is for today? You don't have to voice it if you don't want to.
Well, I can voice it. My intention is to be present with the experience to better describe it for our listeners. I always get benefits from Combo. I'm always grateful for the way that it steadies my mind and heart, and I hope for some of those benefits even with a light dose today. But more than anything, I'm hoping to be of service in being able to describe this unique experience to our listeners. All right. So it's interesting. Usually when I do a full combo ceremony, I get quite apprehensive. And when it comes on, I typically feel kind of rising sensation. I feel some sensation now. I feel a little stinginess on the arm itself. Yeah, we shall see. What an interesting thing. I've never done dry combo before.
It tends to be a really good tool for meditation. We'll apply dry combo to somebody if they might be dealing with a more intense autoimmune issue. If they're very sick, I might apply dry combo instead. Also, if they're elderly, dry combo. I've applied combo to, I think the oldest person I served combo to was 82 and who had stage 4 cancer. And he got a lot out of combo, but we did serve it dry.
So in this moment, I'm feeling a little bit of the energy that I feel with combo, which is a kind of heat in my head. A little bit of, oh yeah, I definitely feel the heat in my head. Ah, that traditional, typical combo, it's all happening experience. It's a little slight ringing in the ears. Mm-hmm. I don't feel the pounding in the chest that can sometimes come. They call it the jungle drum. Mm-hmm. But I definitely feel that green fire. Yeah. I'm definitely experiencing combo in my body at this moment.
It can be pleasant sometimes with just one point. Combo can be pleasant with 13 points too. A lot of it depends on your level of resistance around it. And then also what the lifestyle looks like around ceremony too when it comes to diet and other things that we're taking in on an energetic level. But usually one point can be like, ooh, there's something different happening in the body, you know?
I have anxiety. And specifically very physical anxiety in my belly. And I find that combo always it's doing it right now. It always goes to directly the point where I feel this kind of like somatic holding. Yeah. And usually when I have a purge, it's discharging that kind of pool of somatic energy. And I find it very helpful for that. And I can feel in this moment, it's like a kind of the energy of the fire and the heat kind of rises up and I feel some kind of tension, some heat in my head. And then I feel it kind of move towards my stomach. And then I feel a lot of energy in my stomach.
Yeah. You know, Sananga is a good tool for that too. Sananga, they're eye drops that also come from the Amazon. They sting like hell if you've ever had them, but again, for a very short period of time, they have all kinds of amazing benefits physically and metaphysically, but they can also be used to bring awareness to wherever we're holding energy or wherever there's some kind of stagnant thing in the body.
So when we talk about combo, often what is discussed is this idea of a spiritual purge or like an energetic or emotional kind of release. And I definitely have felt that. That gets us kind of in the territory of the unverifiable, the kind of subjective experience, which is very difficult for a more skeptical Western mind. I tend to intentionally lean towards skepticism. I feel like it's helpful for my path because if I get too wrapped up into magical thinking, I might be motivated by my own ego to believe something that is not helpful to me. I do feel that there is spiritual value and emotional value. But for the sake of our audience, let's talk a bit about the actual science of combo. What do we know? How did it first begin to be studied in the West? And where are we at with studying the various compounds that are in this medicine and how they work on the body?
Great question. Before I answer those questions, I want to check in with how you're feeling. Your coloring has changed a bit in your body. So how are you feeling with the point?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't feel like a need to purge. I definitely feel pain in my stomach. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel a little metallic taste. I feel a little like my lips feel like they're just slightly plumping up. What is that called when your face swells up when you take combo?
I call it frog face. There might be a more scientific term for that, but I typically call it frog face or frog Botox. It's part of the histamine reaction that combo can cause, and then also some of the lymph as well.
Yeah. I feel okay. It's interesting, the belly stuff. Dry combo doesn't typically create a purge.
Not typically. It can, but that's usually not what happens. So combo causes smooth muscle contractions. So on a very physiological level, that's what you're feeling, is the smooth muscle contraction down there. Yeah.
Why specifically in the stomach versus smooth muscle contraction elsewhere?
That's a good question. I think it's because the stomach is so sensitive. I don't fully know the answer to that, but it's not uncommon for people with wombs to feel it in the womb space and to have what feels like menstrual cramping too. It happens pretty commonly. A lot of times too, people feel it in their intestines as well. So not just in their, you know, in their abdominal region, but, you know, a little bit lower, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling a lot of activity in that whole region at the moment, which is interesting because, as I mentioned, that's where I typically have my kind of somatic holding, my anxiety. And when I purge, it's always from this place. So it always feels like there's an energetic kind of release.
Combo is a deeply somatic medicine. It is a medicine that does hold great treatment potential for all kinds of ailments. But for me, one of the biggest benefits of it is how it does work within the somatic holdings of the body. Literally, combo has a peptide, which we'll get to talking about peptides, but combo has a peptide that cleanses the body on a cellular level. So it's great for fighting cancer. That's usually what we use it for in the West, but also it's moving a lot of energy around at the same time. You had asked about kind of like the history of studying combo. And to my knowledge, and from what I've read, the first time Westerners used combo was in the 1920s when people were down in the Amazon. I think they were rubber tapping. But it wasn't studied until the 60s by the same scientist who discovered serotonin. He's a Nobel Prize nominee twice. Vittorio Espermeer. What he discovered was that combo was a heavy cocktail of what we call bioactive and neuroactive peptides. Peptides are short chain amino acids. They're like a protein, but shorter on a molecular level. When we say bioactive, neuroactive, that means our body can read the peptide contents of combo and it welcomes them in. So it's like combo is putting a code into your body. Whereas if combo were by definition a poison, which by definition it is not because it is bioactive and neuroactive and you can't overdose on it. But if it was a poison, the body would react differently. It wouldn't be able to just recognize what's coming into it. So it's very familiar to the body, even though it is such an extreme and uncomfortable experience.
This might dispel a myth that I'm not sure where I got, or maybe I just assumed this was the case. I always thought that combo was a poison. My kind of like working definition of what was happening was that you were actually poisoning your body, and then your body was trying to push the poison out into your stomach, and then you puke out the poison and you puke out all the other bad stuff too. I don't know why I thought that's what was going on with combo, but that's not correct.
Yeah, that is incorrect. A lot of people feel that way. I think it comes from talking about like poison dart frogs. And then also in Chinese medicine, they say fight poison with poison often. So that is a concept that is practiced in different medicine lineages around the world. But combo, it's by definition not a poison. And also it's the frog's moisture barrier. So it protects the frog from the ambient environment. It's not necessarily to dispel mammals or predators. It does happen to do that because it is an uncomfortable experience. But from everything that I've read, it's to protect it from just the ambient environment that it lives in.
So let's talk about the peptides. This is something that we're going to get pretty nerdy on, but I think the nerdiness is quite helpful. I haven't read anything or I haven't listened to any podcast where they specifically talk about what are the peptides, what do they do? So what are the peptides, what do they do?
Yeah, so Vittorio Espermeyer, he wrote that combo had more healing potential than any other amphibian in nature. We do use combo pharmaceutically in the Western world. There are about 70 patents of combo currently, mostly in the United States, and it's primarily used for its anti-cancerous properties. So it does have some hold in the Western medicine world. But up here, you know, we don't typically serve it like how you'd receive it in the Amazon. It doesn't have the holistic experience and all the benefits of all the peptides, which to me also it has the spirit of the medicine when it's received that way, done by how the indigenous people have practiced it for such a long time. And then also just as it is in nature, the complete component of the frog medicine. But the peptides in combo, basically there are several. When Eamon first received combo, he talked about how he had like heat in his head, buzzing in his head. And so that is due to a peptide that crosses the blood-brain barrier. It does bond with the mu opiate receptors 50 times stronger than morphine.
What's this one called?
Dermamorphin and okay. Deltamorphin.
And this is the one that I feel like I've heard the most about in terms of combo peptides. The fact that it is 50 times stronger than morphine, does that mean that it is potentially 50 times more addictive than morphine? Could you get a combo addiction and just be popping these little guys on yourself every day?
That's a really good question. I do work with a decent amount of people who are experiencing addiction or growing after their addiction and their post-traumatic growth or who are in recovery. It doesn't typically be something that people become addicted to. The biggest thing is, you know, the mentality that we always need more healing. But since combo is such an innately uncomfortable experience, people typically don't get addicted to it. And it's actually really good for treating addiction because it can create space for somebody and take their impulse away from whatever it is that they are addicted to. I've never experienced somebody who is addicted to combo. I have one practitioner that mentioned to me one time that he had people that kept on coming back to him, but there are ways that we serve so that stops. One is by giving them a 3x3, which is receiving combo 3 times in 3 hours, and which is enough to make somebody not want to receive combo again for a very long time, but it's also a very deeply healing experience. Even though it does bond with the opiate receptors like that, it doesn't completely feel like an opiate. The experience that you have isn't, you know, you just took some morphine and then that's it and you don't have the come down from it. People usually don't crave combo again. They might feel called to come back to it for a reason, but it's not a craving like, oh my gosh, I need this now. I don't know specifically why or what is happening differently in the brain with that, or if it's just because so much is going on, but it's not really a thing that people become addicted to, no.
For the experiential part of the podcast, I just want to report that I don't know how long it's been, maybe 10, 15 minutes, but that first flush of heat in my head went away pretty quickly. My tummy's grumbling a little bit, and I feel a little bit of itchy pain on the point that it was on. But aside from that, I feel pretty normal, feel slightly more alert, feel like a little bit, you know, like I took a shot of espresso. A little bit, like I just feel a little clearer. But for the most part, the experience of being on combo feels to be receding somewhat. And I know obviously we did a very small amount, but yeah, feels like it's receding.
Great. I'm considering the second point, if you want to continue being with the energy of the medicine as we talk through this, or if you'd rather.
Well, you know me, I always want more of everything. I'm joking. I actually feel good about doing another one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll mix it and do that. And so I say mix it, what I'm doing, I receive my medicine, which is how all practitioners, to my knowledge, receive their medicine on a stick. And the medicine comes as a hardened shellac that you put water on, and then that's how you're able to form it into malleable points that you then apply to the person's gates.
By the way, I'm super happy that we're doing it this way, doing the podcast this way. It's very interesting and, you know, experiential. And it doesn't feel to me to be disrespectful at all to the medicine. I feel like we're sharing a lot of important information. Let's continue on the peptide train. What other peptides are going on in this medicine that we should know about?
Yeah. So the jungle drumbeat that you were talking about, that is from a peptide that is adenoregulin, and it causes tachycardia in the heart. Tachycardia is irregular heartbeat. So it usually kind of feels like a pa-pom, pa-pom, pa-pom. Sometimes it can feel almost like a chest pain too. That can scare people sometimes. But like I said, combo is mostly a very safe medicine for people to receive, even people with heart issues, unless they have a stent or if they can't do cardiovascular activity, such as walking upstairs, or if they have a pacemaker. As a result, a lot of Pages in South America see it as a heart medicine, that it clears any kind of negative energy around the heart and allows it to speak more freely to the world and bring better things into the person. But it can sometimes feel a bit intense, that heartbeat like that. At the same time, combo is a vasodilator, so it does change the way your circulation flows throughout the body. People can usually feel that too, specifically in the arms, sometimes in the legs as well. It oxygenates the blood at the same time.
So you've put on this second dot, and it's not as strong of a sensation. What happens that with that? Is there a tolerance that happens if the medicine's already in the system? Why is it the second application of the same amount feel much more subtle?
Because it's already in your system working. If we were to put on another 2 points, you'd begin to feel it and probably begin to go through more of a purging process. But since you're already at a heightened state, it doesn't feel like as much of a spike. Basically.
Yeah, I don't feel the same like rising heat in the head, which to me is the most iconic experience of the combo, is that kind of heat and pressure in the head. And then of course the purging, of course.
Yeah, and the peptides are already active too. There's another peptide in combo that causes the blood pressure to rise and then rapidly drop off. So that heat in the head too is the blood pressure increasing. And then you hit a peak. And then, like I said, it begins to drop off. And so you're probably at the point where you've hit your peak, you're beginning to drop off, and that's just where you're riding. You might get another little spike in blood pressure, but since it's already been active, that's how it is.
Is there anything aside from peptides that are going on in terms of this medicine? Is there anything else that is happening in the body that a listener should be aware of?
There's a lot of other things that are happening with the peptides. So we only talked about a couple of them, and there are about a dozen.
Okay, let's do more peptides.
Let's do more peptides. So we talked about vasodilation. We talked about oxygenating of the blood, tachycardia, the jungle drum beat. Pa-pum, pa-pum. We talked about it bonding to the opiate receptors. Combo causes smooth muscle contractions. That's what makes you purge. Purge is in vomiting, right? Which most people, if they read about combo online, if they have friends that have done it, if they've had the experience themselves, they'll talk about purging. But purging happens in all kinds of different ways too. Bottom purging is common. I'm sure you all could understand what that means by bottom purging. But it also happens with combo, clearing of the intestines. At the same time, it does work on the womb space too, and can purge it almost like energetically. It can affect the menstrual cycle in a really beneficial way, although it can be really uncomfortable. If we do have cramping with combo in the womb, it can feel like pretty intense menstrual cramps at times.
If someone has issues with menstruation, perhaps related to problems with birth control or problems just naturally, is combo something that could provide lasting effect for that? If someone did a combo ceremony, I could see how it might relieve symptoms in a particular cycle, but could it have lasting impact on a woman's cycle overall?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. If you receive it a few times at first, it's also amazing for fertility too. And I've seen people with fertility issues as well who combo's done wonders for, but it usually takes a few times. So usually an inoculation, so 3 times in a short period of time. And then sometimes maybe once a month for a month or two. Sometimes it just takes those 3 times and then they don't have issues for 6 months or longer. It really depends. And I've seen people that have PCOS, people that have endometriosis, all kinds of issues. And it's really helpful for it. Acupuncture is a good way to like bring somebody to combo, as weird as that sounds, because it is an alternative medicine. A lot of combo practitioners, including myself, do use acupressure points too. There are specific ones that I use for people that are having menstruation issues or any kind of issues within the womb as well. That can be really helpful, but acupuncture can kind of be something that make people think, oh, maybe, you know, maybe I'll be brought to combo one day. It's also a powerful remedy on its own too.
Interesting.
Yeah. So going back to the peptides that we have, that we experience, combo is also a very potent antifungal, and it's a very potent antiviral as well. It works with people on long haul COVID symptoms. People with almost any kind of autoimmune issue can have really alleviated symptoms from receiving combo.
And is that the purge? Because I understood, like with Candida, for example, it's like you could purge out some of the stuff, the dysbiosis in the gut. But is that what's happening, or is it the peptide relating to like the fungus?
It's both, but it's mainly the peptide relating to the fungus, and that it is antifungal by nature and antiviral by nature too. So even if you don't purge, which not everybody vomits during combo, in my practice, purging can look like all kinds of things. It can look like shaking. It can look like crying. It can look like fainting, which happens with combo and is decently common enough. But nothing's wrong with somebody if they don't vomit. They can also still get a lot of the benefits from it too. Just sometimes they can have more herxing, those detox symptoms, if they don't. But it's just by nature antifungal, antiviral on its own, which is why microdosing it is still powerful, even if it is a more subtle experience, because you're still receiving those benefits from it too.
Speaking of microdosing, back to our field experiment and reporting live from my experience of the second dot. I didn't really experience much change in the second dot. Didn't experience, I feel kind of like just sort of the same.
Awesome. Do you feel like it's been prolonged at all, or do you feel like you're back at baseline?
It's quite subtle, so I think maybe a bit prolonged. I wouldn't say necessarily at baseline, but the whole experience is quite subtle. Very, very different than doing a traditional purgative combo experience. When I do combo, particularly if I haven't been taking good care of myself, I can feel like properly miserable, like in a combo ceremony, like for a while, where I'm just like, make it stop. But when I have that experience, that's usually when I feel the most benefit afterwards, because it was, to your point about maybe it's like killing off fungus or something, or killing off stuff in my gut or in my system, but I just make it stop. And then, you know, there might be a little herxy thing in that evening, but typically I feel pretty good for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards.
I've seen some crazy shit serving combo over the years with people having a really challenging time. And also I've experienced combo dozens of times too. I've been in the misery fully. I've hated combo. I have hated whoever is serving me combo. When I was going through my practitioner's course and I was receiving my 3x3, so 3 times in 3 hours, I was so angry at my instructor. I was like yelling at her, like, this is stupid. We shouldn't do this. But in my experience, when people have a strong reaction like that, they get the best benefit out of it, because it is killing off a lot of things in the body. It is fact, you know, funguses, viruses do vibrate at a different frequency than what is the natural human vibration. So we do have that shift on a very minute level. At the same time too, who knows what else is getting brought up? You know, our bodies hold on to all kinds of things. So when anger comes up with combo, the way I view it is it can oftentimes be suppressed anger when somebody didn't have a proper place to express their anger towards someone, something that happened in their life, and it's just combo brings it out. That can happen with depression, sadness too. So there's so much more going on than we can fully understand. But when people have those strong reactions, when they really get cleaned out, then oftentimes it's like they feel so much better. I do want to talk about depression and anxiety and what that's doing, because you had talked about how it's been so helpful for you, and it's been the number one thing for me. I used to have really severe depression. I still go through my waves, but it's not what it was. And I feel like a lot of that was due to combo. Combo does bond with the mu opiate receptors, right? And it's not as if you were to take an opiate. It's not as if you have your experience and then you're done. Instead, what I like to say is that combo gives us like the benefits of opiates, meaning that that combo can fight chronic pain for, I'm talking weeks here, not just for, you know, the period of time that you're sitting with it. And then also anxiety, depression too, for weeks. And there's also a certain level with cleaning out the gut too on top of that. So 90% of our serotonin comes from the gut. Most of our guts are super screwed up as per the cost of modern day living, convenience foods, stuff like that. But through cleaning that out, and then also through bonding with the certain receptors in the brain, it can be really beneficial for depression and anxiety in a good, safe way that's not addictive.
Yeah, that's, for me, it's been the depression, anxiety piece is what's kept me coming back to using combo. Mm-hmm. And so that actually brings us to where I wanted to end our conversation, which is around some of the concerns around combo. So for me, you know, combo is so great for depression, so I want it to be available. I want to be able to use it frequently. There's a concern about, this is a medicine that's coming from an animal in the Amazon. These are indigenous stewards of this medicine. So there are some serious issues here around conservation, around animal cruelty, how it's harvested, and just around the consumption orientation of healing. So if combo is particularly efficacious for depression and you want to take it regularly, now in my case, I don't, you know, it certainly wouldn't be a daily thing, but if depression comes, it's something that I want to be able to take. If suddenly everyone is doing that, you know, and by everyone, I mean, let's say, you know, tens of millions of people are using this medicine. Now, obviously, the giant monkey tree frog is not endangered. I mean, there is some threat to its habitat, but it's not currently considered endangered. But if a lot of people are going to use this medicine, then there's going to be a lot of strain on the frogs. So let's start with the harvesting. Are these frogs harvested ethically? How do we know? What are some of the ethical concerns about, you know, you mentioned over-milking of the frogs. There are pictures online of frogs being kind of like strung up and they look very uncomfortable. Is this a fair thing to do to these little frog friends?
That's a really good question. And it's one that I've thought about a lot as somebody who is a vegan as well. But basically, it's important to know, I'm going to revisit this, where your medicine comes from and just make that very clear. And there are ethical issues with the frog. There are moral issues with the frog. I'm not going to act like there are not any. Basically, as per my understanding and my experience as well, when working with tribes and also working through my organization, the original carriers of Combo have a very intimate relationship with the frog. It is considered the spirit of the rainforest. It is considered bad luck to harm the frog itself. And so there is like a local effort there to keep it somewhat regulated and to keep it ethical. There are a lot of pictures of the frog being strung up like in an X shape. And that holds a purpose, actually. So even though it does look uncomfortable for the frog, the purpose of that is to leave marks on its hands and its feet. So they know if they get a frog that has those marks, not to extract Combo from it. Right? Because this is its protective barrier in nature. It's its moisture barrier. It's not good to overmilk the frog. And so if they go and they pick up another frog that has these marks, they know, okay, let it go. And the marks last for a few months. And then once they're gone, it's a sign that, okay, they can extract from the frog again. So that's why you see it tied up. There are some tribes that just hold the frog and extract from it that way. I've also seen a video of somebody just kind of like rubbing the frog on somebody's points in the Amazon as well. But even though it is kind of scary to see, tying it up in my book is the best way to do it safely from the frog. And also not to draw comparisons, but also to draw a kind of comparison at the same time. It doesn't do anything that like animal agriculture in the United States does as well when it comes to raising chickens, you know, in a big factory farm, or also like raising cows too. It is something where the frog is kept in its natural environment. They go, they pick it up, they tie it up, they extract it really quickly, and then they let it go again. It's not kept and confined. A big thing with the frog though is that it does have to stay in the upper Amazon. They don't know why. It's probably because of its diet, but when the frog has been removed from its native habitat, it doesn't secrete Combo. It's different.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you couldn't have, and probably wouldn't want to have, but you couldn't have some big Combo farm.
Yeah. And there are stories of people overmilking frogs. You can find them online as well. People who do things like poke a frog in order to get it to secrete. The Matsas tribe, where I get my medicine from, they tickle its hands and its feet, and that's how they get it to secrete. So it's a gentle process. But ultimately, you know, it is something that there are some issues that exist out there. So we do have to ask ourselves, you know, do we trust it? Do we trust who we're receiving the medicine from to carry it well? It's really wonderful that we're able to send an income back to the tribes. We are living in a time where the world is becoming more modern. Tribes are leaving the Amazon, going into cities. We are seeing cultures die at a very fast rate. So this gives an opportunity to preserve that culture as well. The tribes don't see anybody as having ownership over Combo or ayahuasca or any other earth medicine. And for the most part, they believe it as something that the world at large can benefit from. And people go down there, they learn how to serve these medicines, and then oftentimes they come up here. Ideally, they take another certification course or maybe develop one on their own. That's also in line with our medical practices up here, and they go and serve it too. So it is something that is well-rounded. And I believe that their presence in the Amazon too does help to protect the Amazon at large from habitat destruction, from development, from the governments, specifically in Brazil as well.
We talked about this a little bit, but just to touch on it, negative side effects or fatalities.
Good question. So fatalities, as far as I know, all the fatalities that I've heard about have been due to hyponatremia. So drinking too much water. It's not combo itself. It's improper serving of combo or people that just don't know. So again, important to have a good practitioner as well that knows what's happening here. Also a good person to serve you combo who knows how to do it, because there are a lot of things happening within the physical body. There's a big blood pressure drop that can create complications if somebody doesn't know how to treat it, if that were to arise. Fainting is a risk with combo too. So there's a lot that's going on. So you need somebody who knows how to hold proper space and know what's going on a very physical level in your body. And then also obviously hold space for you emotionally too. Combo can bring things up for people. And so people who've experienced combo negatively that I've seen, it's usually either it's brought something up within the body and they need to do some kind of dietary detox afterwards, in my opinion. I'm not a nutritionist and I'm not a doctor, but that's how I view it. Or they need to receive combo again to get whatever is floating up fully up and out of the body. So the herxing can be pretty intense for some people. Again, I oftentimes see this if somebody has Lyme disease or another kind of autoimmune issue or some other health thing that's going on. But if you do have a strong reaction afterwards, it can be really helpful to receive combo again as soon as possible to get it up and out. And then there's also emotional herxing too. So people who have a high level of trauma that maybe combo has brought up for them and they don't have proper support around it. So it's also important that, you know, you have your support system, you have community. Ideally, you have a practitioner that does integration work as well, which I do. And I have coaching certifications that help me with that, to hold proper space for somebody, or to be working with a licensed professional too can be helpful.
That's all super valuable. We're kind of coming to the end of our conversation today. And I think any words of wisdom or cautionary advice around the kind of addictive, consumptive wellness issue?
Oh my gosh, so much. It's going to be hard to keep it short and sweet and to the point. A big thing is that the ego loves plant medicine. The ego loves combo. The ego loves things like ayahuasca, anything else. They are things that can keep the ego in check, but then it can come back even stronger and even harder for having done such a feat, you know, for going through this process where it died and then came back even stronger. So it's always important to be able to watch that within yourself, to understand when you're experiencing it. And that's for anybody on the journey. I don't care what level they're on, if they're going for their first plant medicine ceremony, their first retreat, or if they've been doing it for 20, 30 years, it's always an issue and it constantly has to be watched and monitored. When it comes to things like Instagram porn and the glorification of all of that, for me, it's challenging because on one note, it's like, I want to make combo and some other medicines less scary for people so that people who need these medicines can have access to them and also aren't afraid of it just because it's something that is outside of the realm of what they grew up with in a paradigm that's been designed to keep them sick. I don't know where my mental health would be if it weren't for combo. I don't know if I would still be on this planet. I had some serious issues for a long time. So I want to provide a safe place for people to access it. So I put information about combo out there, but at the same time, there's that fine line because I don't want it to also be consumerist or to draw the wrong kind of attention too. So it is a bit challenging dealing with stuff like that and talking about, you know, how to promote it on social media, but promote it in a way where it's still a medicine, it's still indigenous, respect is still demanded to the people who have practiced it for thousands of years, and also where it's not put on a pedestal and not glorified as something that, you know, is going to heal you, period. You know, we don't truly know what our future holds. We also have to learn how to take responsibility radically for our own wellness, which part of that responsibility is learning when to set wellness to the side and just live life for being a human and having a human experience, even if it means, you know, doing something a little bit debaucherous at times, which is okay too. It's all about keeping things in check. So monitoring yourself is really important. Also, the last thing is be careful of people's highlight reels and what they want to put out there and glorify about themselves that might not totally be true of their experience. And that might be hiding something deeper and maybe a bit darker.
Very wise. Very wise. Well, I feel like we're coming to the end of this dry combo experience. Is it time to remove the medicine?
It's been time. Yeah, it's dried on there. It's all good. If you want to hand me a tissue back there, please.
Okay. So that was definitely, I've never had the experience of dry combo before. Much subtler, and I will be able to observe how I experience this over the next couple of days and see if it feels like it's had the kind of impact a more involved ceremony might have. So now you are preparing this stuff called dragon's blood, which is used to cover up the open wound.
Yeah, so dragon's blood is just a sap, and it's, if you love botany, it's a sap from a plant in the croton family. And it's dark red. It's how it gets the name dragon's blood. No dragons were harmed in the making of this dragon's blood. But basically, it forms a natural adhesive bandage over the gates. And it's really cool. Nothing else has to be added to it. It literally just dries over where the skin is broken. And once the skin underneath it is healed, it comes off. And that's that.
The jungle bandage. Jetta, this has been such a fun experience.
Yay.
Thank you for sharing so much knowledge. And I feel like we really robustly explored the topic of combo whilst experiencing combo, which is quite a privilege. So just on my end, I will say thank you to combo, spirit of combo, to the indigenous wisdom keepers who have brought this medicine forth and keep it alive. And thank you, dear listener, for being on this journey with us. And thank you, Jetta. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This is such a pleasure, and for having this opportunity to share with people what this is all about.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for Life is a Festival. If you liked the show, you can support it by sharing it with your friends, following it on Spotify, or reviewing it on iTunes. If you'd like to get more involved, you can join our Facebook group, Life is a Festival, where we talk about the show and you can suggest new guests. If you really liked the show and maybe want a little bit more, visit my digital tip jar at patreon.com/lifeisafestival.com. Whatever you do, I hope today's podcast helped you make your life just a little bit more like a festival, and I'll see you on the dance floor.